Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, we have been talking together in our last broadcast about how God prepares effective leaders. We all desire to serve the Lord with our life. We all desire to make our life count for Him and invest for not just this life, but the next. But you pointed out some very interesting things about how God does that in a man's life. And we were actually looking at the life of one of God's leaders in the Old Testament, Joshua.
Yeah, when we considered what made him usable when it came to Joshua chapter 1, we found that there were four characteristics that were true of him. The faithful past that he had, we saw him in the battles, the Mount Sinai, the sending of the spies, his commissioning. We see the specific call that God had given to him after this faithful past. We see his constant obedience to the word, and then he constantly walked by faith. These were the four characteristics that we discussed as to what made him usable, and I think you brought a great conclusion. I think it might be good for you to again rehearse that conclusion of how it can be applied to us as we listen.
Well, as I was listening to you, you were talking about how God applies these Old Testament passages to our lives as models in many ways of how we live today. And I was just drawing some parallels as men and women, and really our listeners, are living our lives desiring to serve God, desiring to invest our lives for Him. And we want to start out doing the big thing. We want to start out, you know, making the huge splash or accomplishing the massive thing. And it always starts with a time of preparation. And that time of preparation always involves faithful, committed obedience to God on a regular, consistent basis. And things as small as having personal devotions and spending time with the Lord every day and being faithful in giving and in serving and being faithful in a local church. And certainly involving yourself in God's revealed will for your life in small areas, as you were talking about. And then gradually God opens up broader and broader areas of service.
What we try to emphasize with our students in this opening message was the fact that these little battles we face now are preparation for the big things we face later. And the giants will not be an issue if we see how big our God is. David had that same mindset. He didn't see a big Goliath. He saw a big God. And the giant, compared to his God, was really no match.
In fact, I heard, was it you or somebody said, and I can't remember who it was now, it wasn't David and the giant, it was David and the dwarf.
Yeah. In David's mind,
right,
it was. Because by comparison, it was not, he was no match for his God.
You said something before the broadcast as we were talking about this. Faith people don't see giants.
No. They see the giant visibly, but that vision is superseded by the greatness of their God. Because their gaze is always lifted higher. And it's hard for us. I mean, I wake up every single morning with fear, not faith. And it's a mindset shift that says, God, I commit this day to you. I commit my work to you. I commit my situation. Some of you may be driving to work right now with facing an awesome thing that you wish you did not have to face today. Well, see the bigness of your God as opposed to the bigness of that issue. And God will give you the grace to walk through that situation. Same thing with family. I mean, there are so many applications that can be made. And with our students, we say, learn to be faithful in the corner of a library. And when it comes to these public battles, many times, God will lay his hand on you.
Right.
And others will recognize that God's hand is on you for that task.
You know, you brought out one of the passages where Moses saw the Lord. Remember in the sapphire, it looked like there was a sea of sapphire underneath him. And the elders were seeing all of this. Well, Joshua got a good vision of God at that point.
Yeah, he got a picture, almost like an Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Where the heavens were open, caught up into the third heaven, said things he could not speak of that were there. And Joshua certainly saw that much higher image.
And it's so critical for people to get a good view of God early on, isn't it?
That's what we do with our freshmen. That's what we're doing now for the first 2 weeks. Meeting with them to build a biography of God. Who is their God?
As you get into the three calls to courage here, let me ask you this. It seems like Moses got to do all the praying, and Moses got to do the stand up on the mountain, hold the hands up, and go up and get the commandments of God. And Joshua had to go actually hold the sword and be out on the battlefield. And how does a man like that handle the struggle of, how come you get to be up there and I have to be down here doing the hard stuff?
Well, anybody who is in administration knows that's a very easy answer, because it's a whole lot easier to hold a sword than to mess with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anybody who is in administrative role, remember, and I say this, pardon my play on words here, but those people gave Moses such a headache, God had to give him two tablets. And God has to put the one, and don't forget, Moses eventually lost his cool and lost the privilege to go in.
Yeah.
I find it's much easier for me to be in the trench doing trench work than it is for me to be doing the supervising and carrying these tablets down and saying, okay, now this is how you live. I'd rather be the one living than the one being telling somebody how you should live. And so I think, number one, Joshua had God's hand, he had God's grace, and he had a submissive mentality. But he also had a role under. That's a lot easier to be functioning under.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're in the top box in a flow chart, it's pressure.
Yes.
I don't care how you cut it.
And you have a target on you.
And there's a target on you. And it's a pressure nobody can relate to unless they've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my answer to that. An executive will know easily how to answer that question. Where a person who is always under, who's never been in that spot, Joshua now had the mantle fall on him. Now suddenly he was not just the swordsman. He was telling them now to go follow the ark, make your steps, do what has to be done. And he was now commanding, not out there.
That must have been an awesome responsibility for Moses to say, you go out and take the entire army and put them at risk, and God is going to come through for us because I'm going to be up here praying.
Yeah, that was a major step of faith.
And Joshua became that kind of a man.
Yes.
Which is why he needed the courage you're talking about.
Yeah, and he needed to see the model in Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had to have the courage. To me, two key elements of leadership is compassion that comes from God's heart and courage that comes out of my heart, because that's where I have to. God cannot give me courage. He will give me ability after I make that step of faith, but it takes courage to make that step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Where compassion is a fruit of the Spirit that I have in me. Courage is I now step based on what I know God wants me to do. And by the way, every believer has a specific call in his life to do Great Commission living. Every believer has that specific call. Now, there are specific placements that every believer doesn't have, but everyone has a specific call.
Well, and we're going to need compassion and courage to do that call, aren't we? So how do I get courage?
Well, I think it'd be good for us to go back now into Joshua chapter 1.
Okay.
And there are three calls to courage that are discovered in Joshua's life. And verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Moses called the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, who was Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And then he says, where your feet touch, every place where your feet touch will be yours from the wilderness. And he gives the boundaries that are there. We see three calls to courage in this chapter, and we won't get these all into this broadcast. We'll have to finish them in another broadcast. But the first call to courage we find in verse 6. The second call to courage, there is a word added, be very courageous. And then we see in verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Now, the first call to courage was because of the promise of the land. And we'll go through these three. The promise of the land, because of the power of the law, and because of the presence of the Lord. These three calls are there. We'll consider, first of all, in this broadcast, because of the promise of the land. Now, it says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them.
So he had to believe that God was actually to come through with a promise he made way back before Joshua's time.
Yeah. How far does that promise go back? It goes all the way back to Abraham.
Right.
The Abrahamic covenant. Now it falls Joshua's lot. Can you imagine Joshua knowing the law, knowing the history of Israel? Suddenly, he as an insignificant individual has on his shoulders to lead his people into the promise that God had given
wow.
to Abraham.
Wow.
So it was not just a little, hey, guys, let's go. You know, would we like to go on a little hike today? No, it was a matter of taking this, the promise of the land.
Well, you know, as you think about what God's called each of us to do, he's made promises about salvation, and he's told us to help people get into those.
As you look at this, what has God promised, that land that he has promised? What has he promised to us? What does he say in Hebrews? There remains unto the people of God
a rest.
A rest. That's what Canaan was a picture of.
Mm-hmm.
Canaan cannot be a complete picture of heaven. I believe that rest is for believers in this life.
Right.
It's not just heaven, which would be ultimate, but there are still issues to deal with. What was the problem? God said, I gave you this land.
But you didn't go in and obey.
Yeah, you didn't go in and obey. Now, what did Joshua face? He said, hey, God gave us the land. I have news for you. No more pressures. We're in Canaan. We're going into Canaan. No, what was the case? First thing they had was foes. Now, did God
clean? A whole bunch of them.
Yeah, did he clean the Canaan of the enemy before they went in?
No, that was Joshua's job.
He said, I will move them by little and little. But God says, I will take it. I'll send hornets before you. And I'm not sure they were actual hornets. It may have been. But I think it was more the fear. Because you remember Rahab, when Rahab heard, said the mighty works of God. Rahab had heard. That was noised abroad.
Well, the whole city was fearful of it.
Yeah, and I think those hornets may not necessarily have been hornets beelining into every house. I think the fear of this people of God, because they heard of the Red Sea, they had heard of Jordan, they had heard of these miracles that had been, and manna, how God fed these people all this time. And here's Rahab says, I believe that. And there was that sparkle of faith in her heart and in her life as one example of that. But when we go in, yes, we're saved by faith. God has promised a rest.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't sit and say, hey, I have no part of this. Because now I have to step by faith to deal with all of the enemies. What are the typical things you and I would confront?
Well, we would confront our flesh.
Yeah.
We would confront overcoming certain sin patterns in our life that remain even after we've been saved.
Because we're still in the flesh.
Right.
God's given us the victory, but we have to apply that victory.
Yeah, Joshua didn't just get to go park it on the other side and wait till everything was ready, like you said. And on that note, we're going to have to wrap the broadcast up today. We'll look forward to our next time together as we look at the second and the third call to courage that God extended to Joshua as he went in to accomplish a great work for the Lord. I hope that this broadcast will be encouragement to you. Let me encourage you to go to our website and listen to the broadcasts that relate to this. We've already had one, and we're looking forward to another in the next time that we're together. May the Lord bless you.